Good morning and welcome to PCC, where we are worshiping Jesus Christ. We're living out Father God's love and we're transforming community by the Holy Spirit. This is World Communion Sunday. And if you have brought bread from some part of the world, during the service, there will be an opportunity. Let me go to when that is. Actually, let me get my bulletin thingy so I know when that is. Thank you. After the doxology, we'll stand and sing the doxology. So you'll already be standing. And then I will seat the congregation will sit down. And as we sing, approaching the table, as we as a congregation start singing, approaching the table, bring your breads forward if you have them and place them on this big pallet place. Place thing, charger, platter. There it is, glass platter. Perfect. I just wanted to draw your attention. If you don't get the covenant call via email, we do a monthly newsletter that just lets you know what's going on around here. Talk to me, and I'll make sure we get you on the email list. And also, we have some hard copies in the back. This month is Staff Appreciation Month. And so you don't clap the whole month. That would be fun, though. There are baskets in the fellowship hall with the staff members and actually volunteers too. Some of them you'll put cards in, right, Patty? And there's blank cards in. We'll have those eventually because I think it's the second to last Sunday of the month. Is that correct? I think it's the 20th, maybe. And so you'll grab some cards out of the fellowship hall, write some appreciation to some of the staff, and put them in the baskets eventually by the end of the month. And then we'll just be celebrated and praise God for the team. I'm kind of missing Amy. Amy's in Boston right now, one of my favorite cities. But she's experiencing Boston for the first time, so kind of look which way's east. I don't remember. Okay. Also, at the end of the month, we have a congregational meeting. And the reason we're having that congregational meeting is the nominating committee is going to nominate deacons, new deacons and elders to be ordained. And so if someone asks you from the nominating committee to prayerfully consider, please do so. Also, on a sidebar, if you've ever had the thought, man, this part of this church should be better, God might be calling you to something here. Because if you've had that thought and said, man, that prayer should have been better, that should have been better, that should have been better, I challenge you on behalf of the Lord Jesus the Christ, join the team and do better, right? It's us, Presbyterian. It's us, right? Are you excited, Daryl? So I'm really excited to see you. I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. I can't wait to hear about your vacation. Anyway, and then if anybody's watched the news or heard, Helena, there it is. Wreaked havoc on the East Coast, North Carolina. And I, as this is World Communion Sunday, I just thought it would be a tragedy if we didn't acknowledge that part of our own country is severely in pain. So maybe just a moment of silence. God, I pray that you would help us, help those that are hurting, especially those that are suffering pain, displacement, discomfort. They've lost their homes. Some of them have lost family members, friends. Wrap your loving arms around the East Coast. And all God's people said, we'll have tons of time after this service to fellowship. So instead of the meet and greet, would you please stand with me and I'll call us to worship? Oh, and I probably should have mentioned that. Right after the service, we'll go over to the fellowship hall, and there'll be all kinds of goodies, and it's the first Sunday of the month, so we'll be breaking bread and eating and talking and being the church. Our call to worship comes from Psalm 8. The psalmist writes, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heaven? When I consider thy heavens with the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, who are we that you are mindful of us? Let's worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
So I think we're going to start with a video.
When children open their boxes, you can hear the laughter, the cheer.
Jesus said, let the little children come to me. I want the children to know that Jesus Christ is alive, and he'll come into each and every heart that invites him.
The mission of Operation Christmas Child is to share the gospel with children around the world.
Because we bring gift to the children, the mothers and the fathers accepted the Lord Jesus Christ.
This box gives us a chance to show them that there is a light, there is a truth.
Millions of children around the world are being impacted by these simple shoebox gifts. So we need to keep packing those boxes and continue to pray for the children around the world as we begin to disciple them. God bless you. Thank you.
So today we launch Operation Christmas Child here at PCC for the season. And through November 17th, we'll be packing and collecting shoeboxes to send overseas. And we're also going to be doing a packing party in the fellowship hall today after service. So everyone is invited to pack a shoebox. And we'll be using the items that we've been collecting all year through our Item of the Month campaign. So please join us in packing a shoebox. We've also got empty ones right out here in the narthex. So if you want to take one and go pack one yourself, please do. I would suggest shopping at a Dollar Tree. Or actually, Amazon now has an Operation Christmas Child storefront. So you can shop on Amazon and look for items and suggestions and pack your shoebox that way. I also want to mention, too, that we are going to be serving as a drop-off location again this year. This is our eighth year in a row. So during National Collection Week, which is November 17th through the 25th, it's 8 days, we'll be working out of room 5, and we'll be collecting shoeboxes from anybody and everybody, the community at large, different churches, and it's our responsibility to take the shoeboxes, pack them into cartons, and then transport those to a what we call a central drop-off location in Huntington Beach. So we need many volunteers for that week. And if you are a little hesitant because you can't lift or do anything physical, we need people that can greet people, that can pray, that can put labels on shoeboxes. There's a variety of roles for people. So don't be intimidated and thinking you've got to be lifting heavy things and doing anything too physical if you're not comfortable with that. I also want to mention that out in the narthex, I've got a little display out here, Operation Christmas Child information, and specifically there's some information on what we call the Greatest Journey, and that is the 12-week discipleship program that all shoebox recipients are invited to participate in. So it's a really important component of this ministry. It's not just the shoebox. It's the opportunity to become a disciple after receiving it. So that's a huge component of what we're trying to do. So take a look at our display, and if you have any questions, let me know. And finally, I'd like to end with saying that prayer is such a big part of Operation Christmas Child. If you don't pack a shoebox, please pray. Pray for the shoeboxes to arrive safely and intact. Pray for the recipients, that their lives would be transformed and the lives of those around them, their family members and village members. And this year, as Jason just touched on about the Hurricane Helene, if you don't know, Operation Christmas Child is a project of Samaritan's Purse. And I'm sure you've heard a lot about Samaritan's Purse in the past week and all the wonderful work they're doing in terms of reaching hurricane victims. But their headquarters are based in Boone, North Carolina. So this hurricane is right in their backyard, and many of their employees have been affected. Up to 10% have lost everything. And as of yesterday, 30% were still without power. So while these employees are still having to go to work, they have their own personal chaos and tragedy to deal with. And right now, Operation Christmas Child is just swamped with trying to get the resources out and going into Samaritan's Purse is swamped with the resources trying to get out to hurricane victims, and they've got Operation Christmas Child coming up too. So it's just so many things going on at once. So please pray for Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, and their employees who are really directly affected being in North Carolina. Okay? And with that, I'd like to finish with one last video. There are some subtitles in this video. There's about a son and a mother. The mother speaks Spanish, so just be aware of the subtitles. And I'd also want to mention the young man in this video. He was at our church a few years ago. His name is Luis, and he gave an amazing testimony that morning, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. So he said, watch his video and his testimony as to what his shoebox meant to him.
Growing up in Panama was very difficult to me. Having a single mother wasn't easy either.
Pasamos muchos momentos.
Thank you, Carlene, that it's such a gift to be a part of this, get to honor and serve the Lord through Operation Child for us, and you bring that to you. Thank you for all of, and Kathy. Kathy. Let us try, and I will project my voice. All right. Let's pray and confess our sins before the Lord together. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry. They're too real to hide, and they're too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Lord, set us free from a past that we cannot change, open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Be assured by Isaiah's words. Isaiah wrote, "Do not fear, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior. Everything I believe in, now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Sing it.
My God is mighty to save. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone.
Oh, believers in Jesus,
children of the King.
Believers in Jesus, children of the King. Believers in Jesus, children of the King.
What a fitting song. Amen. Amen. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his children. Jay and Alex, can't believe you're back in the building. It's awesome. I love it. I prayed over that little lady. Now she's here. And Terry, A plus, Mazda Miata. You get one. If I ever can afford to buy one, she was just walking around, running, grabbing crayons, something to draw with the kids. And just a word to the parents, any parents in the building, this is usually an older congregation, but we welcome the cries and of don't feel like you're disrupting anything, right? Raise your hand if you miss the voice of just, yeah, anyway, that's me. And so anyway, we're the family, right? This is a family, and you, thanks for showing up this Sunday because it makes us intergenerational, right? I have a separate sermon, and I kind of want to give it right now, but maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I'll just give a little snippet. When you don't have older people and younger people in the same room, the church isn't really the church. It's just a Christian club, the same way the Corvette is a Corvette club. You know, it's everybody who likes Jesus, you know, that's... It's the intergenerational, it's the multicultural, it's the world communionness that makes us the church. Yeah, that's out. That's my end of my sermon, that sermon. Danny, you ready for another one? I'm going to just go quick, though. I'm not going to say much because we're headed towards the table and breaking bread together. And during the song that leads up to communion, if you brought bread, make sure you just carry it up during... Come share the Lord. Thank you. I'm going to slow down. We're set free. That's what we're going in. We're studying the ministry and life of Joshua. And that's kind of not true. We're studying the lessons he learned from exile as he's walking in or going into leading the people of God into the promised land. And we are exactly in the same space in certain senses as Joshua. Have you ever heard me say the kingdom of God is here, but not yet? That's Joshua in the next few sermons, the next few Bible passages that we're going to be studying. He's in the promised land, but not yet. Just like we're in the kingdom of God, which means you've made King Jesus your king, which means he is your ruler, right? You make your decisions according to his word and according to this Holy Spirit, right? And so I always like to correct. Most people think that the church is about getting into heaven. It's actually about getting heaven into us. That's what Jesus preached about more than anything else, the kingdom of God. Make me the king of your life, and you enter into this realm. You enter this realm that never ends. My hope and prayer is that all of us, as we've entered into the kingdom of God right now, making Jesus our king, that when we pass away and go into the kingdom triumphant, God will only have to change us a little bit because he's been working on us this whole time. You get it? You follow, right? Because our true home is in the kingdom triumphant. Our home away from home is the people to your right and to your left. Get to God's word. And actually, we're going to begin at the beginning. Why did Joshua have to lead the people into the promised land after being exiled? Why were the people of God exiled? That's what we're looking at this morning. I'm going to kind of hop, skip, and jump through Numbers chapter 13 and a little bit of 14, yeah. Background. Have you ever seen the movie Prince of Egypt? Yes? No? Okay, good. Klaus, you haven't seen Prince of Egypt? It's a really good movie. DreamWorks. It's just a really good background film for this message because the Exodus event has happened. There's no bigger figure in the Jewish mind than Moses. Moses brought the people out of slavery, He freed them from their slave, from being slaves. They've been slaves for several hundred years, longer than we've been a country. They've been slaves. They'd been slaves. God used Moses, brings them out. Remember the parting of the Red Sea? They're headed towards the promised land. They make some mistakes, granted. You remember the whole worshiping golden calf thing? They're not the perfect people. And we'll see that even more. But he says, okay, we're right on the precipice. We're right on the cusp of the promised land. I need special forces. I need to send in some scouts to look at what the promised land holds, what it looks like. Come back and report. So Moses sends the special teams op into the promised land. That special teams op comes back, and they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community in Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who lived there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Just a little side note, study Bible. Anak is a giant. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people. Shh, Caleb. And he says to Moses, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in their eyes, in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. Then I'm going to skip down to 14:5. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down, because I skipped those first five verses because the people start running in the wrong direction. And Moses, their leader, and Aaron see it. And so they fall down, face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. But the whole assembly talked about stoning him. Then the glory of the Lord appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 20. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them, as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and the Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. And then I'm going to skip down to 30 just because it mentions Caleb and Joshua. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, we gather together with the church, capital C. We're gathering right now around the world to hear your voice, to lean into your message, to follow your command. Set us free. And all God's people said. So the scout report, they come back and Caleb and Joshua, they say it's flowing. It's beautiful. And they show the fruit. What's your favorite fruit? Raspberries? It's not a pop quiz. I'm not trying to trip you up wrong. No, I'm just trying to get you to picture an amazing piece of fruit, right? You've been in a desert, or is it fruit going to be delicious? A land flowing with milk and honey? That's metaphor, right? I don't know. My daughter drinks like 2 gallons of milk a day. I don't know how much she remember Carol Applegate's husband. How much milk does he drink? 2.5 gallons a week. But her husband, I don't want to throw him under the bus, but he fell flat on his face, didn't break anything. Anyway, milk and honey. It's got sweet, it's got bone structure, it's got strength. Caleb and Aaron are saying, let's do this. We got a God that can do this. We don't need to turn down the volume. But he has to be truthful, right? Because he's the scout. What does he say? Oh, by the way, there's some giants. But God's got us, right? There's some giants. It's scary as all get out. There's all kinds of people. He lists all these nations that are all fighting over this land. And they're just little old them, right? You can see some divine purpose. Because little old Lem would maybe have had a problem, but maybe not. Because our God's bigger than anything, right? Amen? But a couple good things come out of the exile. One is more people. Another is the people are gelled. The people become a people. Ramadan just happened, right? We're coming up on Sukkot, which is the festival of tents, festival of booths, which they celebrate. Actually, they grew stronger and they grew more united by being in exile. Right? Did we grow stronger and more united through COVID? Absolutely. Right? I was thoroughly encouraged. I was talking to somebody, I forget who it was. They said, did you guys get decimated by COVID? And actually, the first memory that popped into my head was Sharon calling me and saying, everybody's calling each other and talking on the phone for hours. Back in your wheelhouse, right? Does everybody remember those landlines with you'd pay my extra money so you could walk like across the kitchen with the cord? How many of you have that still in your house? Linda, amen. Right? But we got back on the phone and we grew together. I was preaching from the top of this roof, sweating. Do you remember those first ones? I was sweating like crazy because it was like 120 in October for some reason. I'm getting off the text, but also I'm showing the big picture. Why did they go into exile? There's a theological answer, and there's a practical answer, right? We have the foresight because we're turning back. This is, a couple thousand years ago. And so we can see the end game where they get tighter and where they actually grow in numbers and actually become defined as a people group. But they can't see that. What do they see? Why do they get sent into exile? Why did they get sent into wandering around the desert? One thought is, have you ever seen the movie Shawshank Redemption? Remember Brooksy? And Red is describing Brooksy. Brooks is an older gentleman. He serves his sentence. And he gets released like on his 85th or 87th birthday or something. And he's walking around and he ends up taking his own life. And Red describes why. He says, because he was institutionalized. Joshua and Caleb and their families are the only families that were born into slavery that go into the promised land. One of the reasons, if we're honest, is they don't walk into the promised land because they're afraid of freedom. They were born into slavery, they were set free, and they don't like it. Right? But the primary reason listed in Scripture, why are they sent into exile? They didn't trust. They didn't have faith. And it says in the Scripture, because they were afraid. Title of my sermon, Fear Ruins the Day. Fear absolutely ruins the day. It starts small, but it grows. And individuals get dangerous when they become crowds. We learn that especially when Jesus is doing his ministry, right? Fear. Fear is one of the greatest tools used by the deceiver. It's one of the greatest weapons he has in his arsenal. You ever read Screwtape Letters? How many times are you afraid in that book, right? And the demons are talking about. I have heard that C.S. Lewis, while writing that book, he had to put it down and say, I can't get in that mindset for too long. Otherwise, my fear starts to take over me and I don't like it at all. Fear is drenched with the deceiver's fingerprint. Notice Who would have walked straight into the promised land? Jesus. No, Jesus is a couple pages later in this story. That's an awesome answer, though. This is church, right? You could always say Jesus. Absolutely. Did I tell you this story? I had a youth in my youth group. We would play rock, paper, scissors, and she would say, rock, paper, Jesus, and it beats everything. But it's true. Jesus beats everything. No. Moses, Aaron, and Caleb, why? Because they're broken. They're broken. The opposite of arrogant. How do we fight fear? We confess. Before trust, you have to confess. You have to take that first step. It keeps coming up. Maybe we should turn this into an AA group, right? But we're Sinners Anonymous, and we have to take that first step. I can't make it on my own. I can't do it. I'm powerless. Moses, Aaron, and Caleb know that full well. What's the other thing? Gratitude. Danny, you ready for Give Your Sermon? He's got a sermon for us. You guys want to be here another hour? Just as a sum it up. Devil's fingerprints are all over fear. God's fingerprints are all over gratitude. You can't be afraid when you're grateful. It's impossible. The two spaces don't exist. Like, you can't have that in the same space. Moses, notice, he falls on his face and he says, you pulled me out, man. I was there. I was standing on the shoreline of the Red Sea, and the bad guys were coming, and they had horses. We didn't. We had women and children, and they didn't. They're coming strong. They have armor. They got all the weapons. They got everything. What happened? You split the sea. You did the impossible. I know you can do the impossible again. I know we could walk into a land that's filled with 12-foot giants, thousands of them, but you're God and you're bigger. Remember, Caleb says, we'll go devour them. What? That guy's got faith like nobody's business. We'll go devour them. How does he know that? Because he's humble and he's grateful. He knows. How do we apply this? I think it's pretty self-explanatory, right? A key component I almost forgot. So I thank God I looked at my notes. Another way that the people would have just walked into the promised land, they would have listened. If they would have listened to Moses, Caleb, Aaron, their fear would have subsided because God would have been speaking through them and they would have the faith that they had. But the fear squelched the voice of God. The circumstances overwhelmed the whisper of the Spirit. So application one, take some time this week to listen for God. Listen for God's voice. Seek him in his word. Seek him in his creation. Seek him amongst his people. Listen for God's voice. Second application, don't forget. How many times in the Old Testament do they forget? Right? That's the story of the judges, right? They have the judge, he cleans slate, then the people forgot. Another judge, another judge, another judge. It's just on repeat. Moses, right here. They just were brought through the Red Sea. They were just released the shackles out of Egypt, and they've forgotten. Do we forget? I know I do. Don't forget. And in fact, as we're breaking bread later together, take this as a reminder of all the times that his saving work on the cross not only saved you for all of eternity, but saved you from the day, saved you from your sorrow, saved you from your pain. But then the big picture, you know, theologically, what happens? The people grow together in exile. They become larger and more faithful. They really become a solid people group. So is their failure a failure? Any teacher in here knows. Was their failure a failure? No. Right? If you don't fail, you're not challenging yourself. How many times as a teacher have you said that? Has anybody been a teacher in here before? I know myself as a parent teaching my children things. They are so hard on themselves when they fail and they beat themselves up. They can't let it go. And I say, no, you're learning. When you fail, you're trying something that you haven't tried before, and you're usually learning something. Same with the people of God, same with Scripture, because there's one truth that runs all the way through this deeper than every single other truth. God loves to redeem. God loves to make the crooked straight. He loves to heal the wounded. He loves to give the displaced a home. He loves to set captives free. He loves bringing us out of exile into freedom. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, I pray that as we gather around this table there in the service, along with all other family members around the globe, I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit that we might listen to you more. Remind us of the times you've saved us, that we might fight fear with gratitude. And remind us of the times that you've taught us huge lessons, the times we've failed. Thank you for loving us as is. Thank you for being big enough to change us. And all God's people said, we continue in worship. We now receive. Well, actually, I should wait for my ushers to stand up. I've made this mistake before. Have you met me, Jason Warren Griffiths? I have ADHD or every A something, DD something that you got. So we're moving along and we're going to gather the tithes and offerings. And then we're going to sing doxology. And then we're going to sing Come to the Table. And as we sing Come to the Table, anyone who's brought bread, please bring it up and put it on the communion table. Ushers, actually, can I get one clap? Ready? One, two, three. That's for the ushers. Thanks for being you. This morning's tithes, offerings, and gifts are now received.
I was sitting there thinking, why is it that when you are grateful, you can't be afraid? And we're told that the will of God for us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is in everything to give thanks. And I resided within that for a long time years ago and came to the realization that the reason why the will of God would be to be grateful is because when you are grateful, you are believing in all circumstances for limitless possibilities, which resides you within this idea called faith. So if the system of God is a system of faith and you are grateful, you believe always for a restorative outcome. Gratitude is a virtue which resides with all other virtues encapsulated inside this, for lack of a better word, idea called love. And we're told that God is love. And Paul wrote, perfect love casts out all fear. I heard this children's song many times growing up, and you guys will know it. So when it shows up here, I want you to sing along with it. But I arranged this and wrote these verses to this years ago, and it goes like this. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I was wandering through my life, thought I knew what for. Then I came upon a man I hadn't really seen before. He said, you know, I know your name, I wish that you knew me. He said, I died upon a cross to make the blind see. Such as I, he said I did and would again. That's how I love mankind. I came to seek and save the lost. Your wandering is through. You don't have to walk alone. I'll always be with you. Call his name. Though you may try to block him out, the answer's still the same. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts.
gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through his loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
Do this version.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord.
Let's sing it one more time as they finish placing things at the table.
We gather here in Jesus' name. His love is burning in our hearts like living flame. For through his loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share.
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gathered around the table for the Passover meal, which actually celebrated that Exodus event. Right? And he said, I'm going to make a new covenant with my people. And my people are anyone who needs saving, or anyone who needs, who knows that they can't do it by themselves. That they're powerless, they're helpless. They need a higher power. They need a God to rescue them. And he said, this used to be the bread that symbolized the Passover meal, unleavened, meaning like reminding the people we had to get out of where we were enslaved so fast that we couldn't wait for the bread to rise. Right? I wish this was unleavened just for that. Are you ready to go home to Jesus and kingdom triumphant? I am. I'm tired of watching the news and this crazy stuff. But he said that this is anybody who needs me, anybody who needs saving from my God, my Father God, this is now going to symbolize my body. Broken for them. And in the same way, he lifted up the cup. And he said, this is the cup of a new covenant. This used to be the blood that went over the doorpost. Not anymore. This is the cup of this new covenant. If you confess me as Lord, my sacrifice on the cross will make it so you are forgiven. Paul later adds the words to the letter to the Corinthian church. He says, as often as we, and that's us people, as often as we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim that we belong to our Lord Jesus, and we proclaim that he's coming back for each of us. He's going to wipe the tears from our eyes, and we're going to sit around a table that's mighty, mighty long, and Jesus will be at the head of that and say, let's party. Let's celebrate. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, precious Lord Jesus, powerful Spirit, bless these elements. Bring us up to your kingdom. May your kingdom in heaven live through us here on the earth. I pray that as you set us free, we would remember all the times you set us free from those moments. All those times we've been forgiven, forgive us yet again. Unite us as your church. And all God's people said, amen. You may notice that usually I say the bread and then I drink the cup. If you don't want to eat a pod, and if you want to take communion via intinction, which means coming up here, breaking off a piece of the bread, and dipping it in the juice, so be it. I would love a helper. Do I got a deacon in the building? I'm looking straight at my wife, but I want Carol. We've served communion together. But for those of you that have already broken the bread and taken the bread, there's no less. Again, there's no guilt, shame, or anything. We're all in the same room. We're breaking the bread of Christ. We're taking communion together, right? So if you want to sit and eat the pod, how about I lead you guys first? If you don't want to go anywhere, open your pod. Just let it do it by yourself? No, I think it should be like a community, all taking it together. You know, and if you're staying seated, Doreen agrees with me. Sometimes I'm right, right, Doreen? You got my back. You can do both. I think I say yes. Sometimes I'm baptized myself in the shower. I don't think that's biblical, but that's fine. Body of Christ broken for you. The cup of Christ shed for the forgiveness of your sin. Take, drink. Can you play some soft music? For those of you that want to take communion via intinction, please come forward. Looking at me, you may have noticed that I cried, and it wasn't because of my wife, actually. It's because of Philip. It was so cool to see your faces again, baking bread. Thank you for coming this morning. This is a rich experience. Make sure you stay around and help pack some Christmas, Operation Christmas Child boxes. They really need it, and it goes really far, and it goes to amazing things. Also, repeat to yourself over and over, I've been set free. We'll stand later. If you've never been here before, we do something different at the end of the Lord's Prayer, which we're about to sing together. And so I'm going to ask that you remain seated and just receive this morning's benediction. May God's face shine upon you. May the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit guard and keep you. And may the peace of Christ, the peace that passes all earthly understanding, guard your heart and your mind today, tomorrow, forevermore. Let it be so. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not